Look, chronic wounds, so wounds that don't heal in a timely manner, are a significant problem. I mean, so are acute wounds, but chronic wounds are the ones that we see in the community. They affect nearly 500,000 Australians, and they cost our healthcare system around $3 billion per year. So a very significant problem that affects a large number of people and has the potential to affect an even larger number of people, because we know that chronic wounds are associated with conditions that many Australians have, such as vascular disease and diabetes.
Is that generally what the issue is? That's why they're not healing?
Yeah, look, these conditions can contribute to the wound developing in the first instance, but can also contribute to the wound not healing in a timely manner. And it's very important that we encourage people who have wounds, new wounds, that they seek some professional advice and assessment, so that we can find out what the cause of the wound is and put strategies in place to address that.
All right, so how important then, how serious can wounds and pressure sores and the like become if they're not dealt with quickly?
They can become very serious. Leg ulcers, for example, can occur because of problems with the arteries and veins. Leg ulcers can be extremely painful. They can take a long time to heal, months, years even. They have a significant effect on the person's quality of life. They're painful. They can disrupt the person's lifestyle, their ability to undertake daily activities. They can cause depression. They can cost a lot of money to treat. In Australia, generally speaking, in the community, patients have to pay for their wound dressing products. Mm. And that can be a significant burden for people who are often older and perhaps not on an income that can afford to pay for those dressings.
And Suzanne, can they lead to other issues like blood poisoning or?
Yeah, look, infection is an interesting topic, and everybody worries about infection when they have chronic wounds, and we tend to think that when the wound doesn't heal, the cause is infection, and that is sometimes the case, but it's often not the case. And diagnosing infection in chronic wounds can be quite tricky.
Mm.
So it really is important that people see their general practitioner and then go to an expert wound clinic if they are concerned.
All right, so what's the traditional approach been in hospitals to dealing with wounds in hospitals and that aged care environment?
So the traditional approach, we would usually try and prevent the wound occurring in the first instance. So in the community, we give people compression to support their veins, for example, to prevent venous leg ulcers. And in healthcare services such as hospitals and aged care settings, we put strategies in place to prevent pressure occurring so that people don't develop pressure injuries or what we otherwise know in the broader community as bed sores,
yeah. I think we would think about in terms of the need to change bandages as a common way of looking after a wound.
Yeah, look, absolutely. In years gone by, and people still believe today that we should dry out wounds and that they will heal more quickly. We've got pretty good evidence that suggests that's not the case. And
really?
If we keep wounds moist, they will heal more quickly and we will have less scarring. So it's important that we do that and we make, you know, the best of the treatments and the knowledge that we have to date. So certainly moist wound healing, using antimicrobial dressings when they're appropriate, can be helpful. And also other therapies that help depending on the cause of the wound. So bandaging for venous leg ulcers. We use offloading for people who have foot wounds associated with diabetes, for example.
You say offloading?
Offloading, yeah. So people with diabetes and foot wounds will often spend some time with the podiatrist to help to manage the pressure that foot might be subjected to. So we talk about dressings that have certain properties that help to address bacteria or organisms that might be on the surface of the wound. So sometimes we use those dressings when there perhaps might be some signs that there are an infection or an infection's been diagnosed, just to help get that under control. But all wounds have some bacteria, so it's really important that we don't overuse these products, and particularly that we don't overuse antibiotics, given we know that there is a problem with antimicrobial resistance. So we have to be really careful and make sure that they're only prescribed when they're absolutely needed.
So I understand that you've been looking at, maybe I'll put them in inverted commas, alternative types of treatment. I know for some reason, for some time, that we've been aware of the antimicrobial properties of certain types of raw honey.
Correct. There's been great interest in Manuka honey in the past, and we're very fortunate these days that we have dressings. And if people are interested in utilising honey, you can actually buy dressings that are made specifically for the purpose of wound care that have that are honey-based dressings. So our advice is to always go for a dressing that's been developed for that specific purpose and not to be putting honey that you might buy over the counter or online onto your wound.
Okay. And I think I understand that you're looking at the healing properties of some herbs.
Yeah, look, I've done a little bit of research in this space, mainly out of interest. We don't use sort of these alternative type therapies a great deal in Australia. But, yeah, there's some great history that shows some of the natural products that are available in our environment could potentially be useful for wound care. And in some parts of the world where there is no access to modern-day dressings, certainly some of these treatments are options. And we're not suggesting that they should be used here necessarily, but it's interesting because we may find down the track that some of these properties are useful in modern wound dressing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do understand that there's a lot of research going on in those areas, and I do understand also that, for example, a lot of traditional Aboriginal people know how to use certain, you know, plants to get some benefit in terms of wound healing. As I said, I'm not sure that we're at the stage where you'd want to whack it on your festering bedsore yet, but maybe it won't be long before we really do discover how to tap into those herbs. I see here on my notes that wine is even something that you could look at in terms of its healing properties, which is always good.
Look, I personally think it's much better to drink a small glass of it than to put it
than
on
to
your
pour it over your leg.
We're talking about a very, very long time ago when this, you know, this we've identified this in very early writings around wound care. I certainly haven't read anything about wine on your wound recently.
I am much more interested in the use of wines than I am in the next one on my list here, which is maggots. And the use of maggots has certainly gained more attention recently, I think, in terms of some wound healing.
Absolutely. And look, this therapy is very special in some ways because when we pop these little critters onto a wound, they do amazing work. They're very good at cleaning wounds and removing what we call devitalised tissue, so tissue that is not healthy, dead tissue that needs to come away from the wound. And they're very, very selective. They don't hurt good tissue or the skin around the wound. And they do the work for us, work that would otherwise need to be done by other dressings or by a clinician who needs to use sharp implements and things like that. So there is a place for that therapy, absolutely. And there are some trials that show that it is very effective. But as your listeners are probably thinking, it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I can certainly understand that.
Suzanne, is that a specific sort of maggot? I mean, I just know I grew up on a farm and those blowflies that get into the back of a sheep, they certainly seem to get into the healthy tissue and turn it into non-healthy tissue.
Look, I think you're probably quite right, but no, we use maggots that are developed specifically for this purpose and in a controlled environment. That's not to say that occasionally I'm sure we don't find them in places that we shouldn't, but no, if you wanted to trial this therapy, you would talk to your GP or your clinic about it, and then there's a place.
Get some nice sterile maggots.
Correct.
Yeah, and I believe in Asian cultures, banana skins and turmeric have also been used for wound care, yeah?
Yes, correct. Banana skins in some parts of the world are very cost-effective because they're very cheap, and we're talking about places that perhaps don't have access to the wonderful dressings that we have now. And turmeric most recently has been of interest, and there's certainly, I believe, some research going on in that space. Not a therapy that I've used in my practice, I would have to say.
Suzanne, is it your understanding, I mean, we've talked about maggots, we've talked about honey, and we've talked about some of the herbs and the research that's been done in that area. Is it your understanding that generally the medical profession and people dealing with wound care are more open-minded about their approaches to wound care than they might have been in the past?
Yes, I think they are, and I think we have more evidence, and we always need more evidence of what the most effective treatments are. That will never change because we learn more and more about wounds as time goes on. But we're very fortunate that we have a lot of information at hand. We have a lot of options with respect to treatments. So we're continuing to discover new things as time goes on and understand more about wound healing, why wounds take a long time to heal, and how we can make them heal quicker. But we do know that if people get early assessment and advice, don't wait too long, you're more likely in most cases to get a more positive and a quicker outcome. So the key thing is to understand why the wound is there, and then the experts can help people to treat them appropriately and get them healed quickly.